I guess it falls on me to introduce our speaker, as I don't see the other individual that was going to be involved. He must be busy. I met this individual 11 years ago, I think, give or take, at this meeting. This was the only meeting that Higna had at the time. And we sat down. I showed up at the meeting. It was on Skype. We sat down and talked. I came back to another meeting. They threw me the keys to the boat and said, start more meetings. And we've been working together ever since on multiple projects and involved in each other's recovery ever since. He is one of the few people from outside the country that I have met online that has been to my house. And I appreciate the fact that he has been here several times and come down to Costa Rica with me. And we have participated in our recovery wherever we have gone, which is one of the benefits of the virtual meetings, is wherever you go, you take your home group with you, as he says. Without further ado, I know he has just celebrated a major milestone. I'll let him tell you about that. Steve, would you share for 40 to 45 minutes or whatever you want to, your experience, strength, and hope? Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Oh, my name's Steve.
And hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hello,
Steve.
Yeah, I celebrated 31 years this week, Thursday.
Right on. Ooh.
I'd like to start this. Just indulge me a minute. I'm going to read a passage out of Living Clean. And it's from the preface, and it says, we are called to tell our story in NA, not just once, but over and over. We cannot see the entirety of ourselves in one fifth step or one share, and we cannot see the entirety of our recovery all at once either. We see it in layers, and our vision of ourselves changes each time we have a shift in perspective or a change in perception. Telling the truth about our lives is one of the most powerful things we can ever do. We start to see the threads that run through our experience, even though we may feel like we have been many different people over the course of our lives. We can see the patterns that help us or hold us back, and we can find hope even at times when our lives are very difficult. I really like that paragraph. It strikes me every time we get to read it in our Friday meeting. And it's true. I think, I can't remember the first time I ever got asked to share in a meeting, specifically, and I don't remember what I shared, and I've been asked to share at this meeting many times over the last few years. And I know that for me, the basics stay the same, who I am, where I came from is pretty much always the same. My understanding of that process has grown. My understanding of that process has deepened. My understanding of how I ended up here is different, from what it used to be, even though the details are still the same, and oddly enough, I had a conversation with my co-sponsor yesterday. And we basically concluded that 31 years, we had no idea what that meant. I asked him about what he felt like. I mean, being like last year was different, like 30 years was a big deal. It felt really significant. I mean, there's been a few moments in my recovery over the years where I've hit big numbers for me anyway. I mean, 10 years was a big deal. 21 years was a big deal. 30 years was a big deal. And yet, this year, 31, I'm looking at that and thinking, well, what does that mean? Other than a boatload of days, 11,322 days, 31 years. And when I think about it in that way, it kind of brings me back down to earth, which is what I need. I need that as an addict. I mean, Jay was joking about being special at the beginning. I mean, I'm not fucking special. I'm just another addict, right? Happens to have been here for a while, you know, and I've done my best one day at a time for all those days not to use and to try and be a better person today than I was yesterday, learn by the mistakes that I've made, gain from this, you know, and the successes, you know, what works, what doesn't work. I get more from learning what doesn't work than I get from what does work, to be honest. You know, and really, it's just a lot of miracles, and I'm blown away. I'm, you know, when people that know me well know me, I can talk for England about the program, you know, but when it comes to an anniversary and an A, I'm always like actually lost for words. I never really know quite what I'm going to say or you know, how can I carry the message? How can I carry a message that what that means to me as a human being, as a recovering addict, you know, to have gone through all those days and still be here, you know, still surrendering to the fact that I suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure, you know, and the reality is that I'm more aware today that I'm a still suffering addict than I ever was. You know, because you know, recovery is contingent on me making a fucking effort and getting on with it. Yeah, you know, but I mean, experience, strength and hope, right? There's a few people in the room that I don't think I've maybe not have heard me share, so I suppose I better share a little bit about who I am, you know. I'm a son of Liverpool. I'm 1955, back in the dark days of the post-war UK, bombed buildings, difficult times, still food rationing when I was a kid in this country, you know, and it was difficult, you know, and I think first time I ever wrote my story in as a recovering addict, it was, there was lots of finger pointing. It was all like, well, it was all because of that that I ended up doing the things that I did and becoming an addict. You know, it was like, you know, it was like, you know, I had a tough upbringing. We had no money. You know, it was like my parents did this, my schools, you know, my, this, that, the other thing, you know, and it was like, that's something that's changed for me. That's a perspective that's changed for me. I'm an addict. Get over it. You know, I mean, and I can't, you know, that's what I have to say to myself. You know, I can no longer justify blaming anybody for the choices that I made. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my school. I can't blame because I was born in this place or that place or the other place, you know, or any of that good stuff. You know, I'm an addict, you know, and I personally believed that I was always an addict. I think it was just an accident waiting to happen, one way or another, you know. And my understanding of that has changed over the years. It really has, you know, to the point where, well, you know, for me, you know, a lot of the resentment and the anger and the fear and all of that stuff was all wrapped up in that. You know, it was all because I was blaming other people. But I don't do that anymore. So in that way, you know, I've been able to let go of a lot of those things, you know, because it was like, well, actually, you know, it wasn't their fault. They were doing their fucking best. They were, you know, my parents didn't set out to make my life miserable, you know. Teachers, people, they didn't, you know, they were just doing what they did, you know, like dealing with their own fucking demons and trying to make sense out of a crazy world. You know, but yeah, and I picked up really young. I moved around a lot and I picked up really young. you know, 12 or something, you know, I was drinking a drug, you know. And by the time I was like 16, I was mainlining fucking opiates. And it's like, and I kind of walked away from my life because I couldn't focus. I couldn't cope with my life. I had no idea who I was or what I was or what I was supposed to do. I didn't understand how to process feelings. I didn't know how to fit and felt as if I didn't, you know, and that was it, you know, like the drugs were a blessed relief for the confusion of my life. You know, that's why I saw it. You know, and I was in the game, right? That was the game right from the very beginning. It was like, okay, I'm in this game. You know, I'm going to take drugs because they seem to solve the problems that I have, that I think I have, whatever. You know, and that's just how it went on. You know, and it's, you know, looking back, well, I didn't set out to think. You know, I think. Talks about it, isn't it? Step two stuff, isn't it? You know, I didn't set out to become a desperate, lonely, fucked up individual who had no choice but to use. That wasn't in the game plan. You know, it was that wasn't there. You know, but that's how it ended up. You know, for me, that's what brought me here. Was because actually they turned on me. What I thought was my best friend turned on me. What I thought was the solution to the problems I had with daily living turned on me, and took me apart piece by piece. And again, you know, like looking back, you know, I mean, at the time, it was a bit of a process that took 2.5 decades to finally take the last piece out of me that brought me to my knees. Hopeless, lost, back where I started with the same feelings. I mean, I remember being struck at that. I've thought about that. I mean, so much of what happened to me in my early recovery I can kind of talk about, but I didn't really understand what was fucking going on. I didn't have the vocabulary by then, you know. I didn't understand the emotional. I didn't have the emotional integrity to understand any of it. It was just, you know, my life had been a train wreck for 25 years. Simple, you know. I'd lost kids. Been divorced. You know, I had kids taken away by the social services. All of that stuff had gone on in my life. You know, I mean, it was like chaos. You know, that's what the disease did to me. It took me away from the people that cared for me most, you know, because I would just push them away. I didn't want anybody ever to feel sorry for me. I didn't want anybody ever to sort of feel, you know, I wasn't willing to let anybody in. I think that's kind of part of what that is, you know, because like letting people in was dangerous. If I let someone in, you might see who I was, and if you saw who I was, you'd hate me, of course, you know, because I was a fucking asshole. You know. And I blamed you for that. It's all your fault, you know. And it broke me. Drugs broke me. You know, being an active using addict broke me in fucking to more pieces I care to think about. You know, and I know we all share that. You know, that's what brings us here. You know, that's something that I saw and heard in the first few weeks and months of my recovery was people saying that, yeah, we know what you're talking about, man. We've been there. That's what happened to us. Who knew? You know, and I was like a lot of us, you know, I thought I was terminally unique. I didn't believe that anybody could ever possibly have experienced the pain and grief and stuff that I'd gone through or be as fucked up and confused as I was or, you know, any of those things, you know. And suddenly I found myself amongst people that did. And I believed them because they too were telling their stories. You know, it's a powerful thing. You know, my first ever experience of people in recovery was 7 days out of a detox, my first day clean on the 19th of October 1992. Coming out of what felt like a kind of very weird, misty kind of place that they put me in to stop me from killing people, because I was a bit angry, violent, psychotic. Touching me on the shoulder and giving me little hugs and telling me that they were glad I was there and that they loved me and that, you know, they knew what I was going through and they just wanted me to hang in there and just stick with it and that it would get better. You know, and this was people with less than 6 weeks clean carrying a message to me, you know, and that's always blown me away looking back on that. I mean, there was people there that had clean time, but they were being paid to be there. They were the counsellors. No one else had any clean time. They're all newcomers. And yet they were carrying this amazing message to me, and I could see it in their eyes, and I could hear it in their voices, and we shared the pain and grief of early recovery, you know, like the acceptance of step one, you know, the evidence of our lives, you know, the talking about the terrible things that we'd done to ourselves and to other human beings, in the name of addiction, in the name of getting and finding ways and means to get more. You know, and I think about that a lot, even today. I'll never forget that, because that was, you know, without that grounding for me in this program of being encouraged to get brutal with myself for the first time ever, talk honestly about myself for the first time ever, and it was as much internal as it was external, because I had so much denial. I was just full of denial. You know, I had this huge front, you know, that I developed like this extra layers of skin that were just protecting me from you and protecting me from the fucking world somehow, you know, and those people in that place, you know, these newcomers, we were all the same. We were bouncing off each other all the time, and it was like, you know, it was profound. It was just powerful, you know. And slowly, I started to realize that the, you know, some of the layers were getting stripped away, you know. And then I got taken to my first NA meeting, you know, and that blew me away. I committed myself at the end of my first ever Narcotics Anonymous meeting that I was going to do my absolute best to do what you're asking of me, that I would apply myself to being a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I understood it on a gut level. Again, I didn't have the words. I didn't really understand what I was doing. I didn't have any clue about what that meant in real terms. I just knew it was important. Because I could see, you know, I could see these people in these rooms, you know, had something that I wanted really badly, you know, because I was lost. I was just so fucking lost. I can't tell you. I was just so lost. You know, slowly over time, you know, I really love the fact it says that it tells us that in the tradition, slowly over time, you know. And that's the experience, and that's me, you know, that's my experience. Slowly over time, I've begun to put the pieces back together again. It was like I was presented with a fucking jigsaw puzzle with no picture on the box and no picture on the pieces, and told, put this back together. And every piece was fucking different. You know, it was like, what the fuck? But that was, you know, that's how I saw it. And it's... Yeah, it worked. I don't know. I can't honestly put my hand on my heart and tell you when the desire to use, the obsession to use drugs was taken away from me. But one day I realised it had. You know, I didn't want to use drugs anymore. You know, it was like I could see that that wasn't the answer. I could see that that wasn't going to be the way I needed to go. If I wanted to gain anything from the experience of committing myself to being a member of Narcotics Anonymous and getting what you had. You know, I had to do what you did, and that meant not use drugs, you know, and you know, be abstinent to the best, you know, be abstinent. You know, it all starts there, right? You know, end of. You know. And it works. So that's all I can tell you. You know, it's I don't have any magic wand. What do you think I did? I mean, a few people in this room heard me tell the story about the two free gifts we get with the first copy of the basic text, which is the orange box and the big stick. You know, but we're confused about what they're for, you know, and we stand on the orange box and we tell everybody that this is the way they have to recover, and if they don't do it, they're all going to die. And then we take the big stick home with us and we beat ourselves up with it at night because we know we're talking bollocks and we have no clue what we're doing, really. And then one day the penny drops and we realise actually the fucking big stick is to break up the fucking orange box and just get real. And that was a moment, that was a profound moment for me in recovery, but I was like probably 5 or 6 years before I fucking find that penny finally dropped. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. You don't have all the fucking answers, son, you know what I mean? You're still fucking, you know, you're still scratching the surface. Yeah, I practice these principles in our affairs, you know, oh my God, you know. Break the chains. You know, it's been a fucking amazing journey, I have to say, you know, really, in lots of different ways, the highs and lows, you know. A good friend of mine sometimes shares, you know, anything I've ever done consistently right in Narcotics Anonymous is not use. Obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be sat here with 31 years clean, you know. Sometimes it's tough to practice this program in all our affairs, you know what I mean? That's what I've learned anyway, you know, and because things come up, stuff comes up, you know, and it's every day it's different, you know, there's a different challenge. Different set of fucking rules to look at, you know, whatever, you know, and you know, practice makes perfect, they say, don't they, you know, and I know we don't necessarily aim for perfection in NA, you know, it's an aspiration that, you know, but it's not something that I think is attainable, to be honest, for me anyway, you know, because I'm still this frail, vulnerable human being, you know, and I'm subject to all kinds of crazy shit, you know, my disease is alive and well in my head, will guide me down the garden path on any given opportunity, if I allow it, or don't notice, which is worse. Actually, I'm not sure whether it's worse to not notice or know it and let it happen, probably know it and let it happen, that's probably worse, at least I can claim I didn't realise. If I didn't know, but if I know and I do, you know, that's on me. You know, bad behaviour, whatever, you know, twisted thinking, you know, let the ego get in the way, you know, take control. You know, I don't need fucking higher power in my life. I'm done, you know, fuck it. You know, I'm going to go this way because I want to go this way. I'm not going that way because you're suggesting it, you know, whatever. That stuff, you know. It's a journey. Every day it's a journey, you know. And I think that's it, isn't it? You know, I mean, every day's a new journey, you know. It's like wake up in the morning, make the choice. You know, not used today. That's helped by the fact I didn't use the day before, which means I'm really relatively clear-headed when I wake up. You know, well, I know that if I pick up, I'm fucked. You know, because that's it. Any consciousness is gone. I'm done. You know, the progression of my disease was staggering. I think I've shared that before. You know, but yeah. I'm aware, never really fully understood that, actually, what that meant, you know, progressive. What does that mean? You know, I had an experience fairly early on in my recovery. I did a lot of the other, I didn't do a lot. I did a bit of the other fellowship in my early recovery because there was no fucking NA where I was. That was it, you know. So, like, at the end of the day, if I needed to connect with other people in any kind of recovery, colour, shape or name, that meant I needed to go to the other fellowship, and I did. And there was a member of a group that I used to go to. He went to New York for Christmas. He was 25 years in. And one of his family members persuaded him to have a glass of sherry on Christmas Eve, and he was dead by the end of January. That's the progression of this disease. You know, I think for me, you know, the further I am, I'm away from the last time I used, the closer I am to death, if I chose to pick up again, you know, because that's my understanding of what that means, that progression. You know, my disease is growing along at the same time as I am, you know, and if I'm not conscious of that and aware of that and vigilant against the disease, which has got trickier and sneakier as the years have gone by, I believe, for me anyway, you know, and it's more difficult to spot, maybe, you know, that's a bit more subtle, you know, it's like, you know, finding its way through my defences. I started going to face-to-face meetings a little bit recently. First time in years, really. Someone died. Group near me, newcomer. You know, and it was addicts die, right? We die if we take drugs. End of story. And that's fucking really scary, you know, and it's... I don't want to die. I like my life today. You know, might not be everything I want, but it's certainly everything I need. You know, my needs are met today. I don't get all the things I want. I mean, that would be ridiculous, right? If I got everything I wanted, that'd be, you know, that's just not realistic, you know. But being a member of Narcotics Anonymous gives me the tools to be able to hang on to those things that I need, you know, like peace of mind, some kind of sense of who I am, some kind of sense of my place in the world. On a good day, that is, because this is any given day. I was banging on about that earlier this year. I got this thing stuck in my head about on any given day, right? Life can throw curveballs at us, or life can be good, or life can be just middle of the road. You know, it's any given day. It's like we never know what that's going to be. I never know when that's going to, what that's going to be. And I wake up in the morning, I have no real idea what's going to come through the door or what I might encounter when I'm out through the door. And I found the courage to go through it and go and live a life, you know, because that's something that Narcotics Anonymous told me was quite important. You know, go and live a life, have a life. Son, you know, you deserve it. You know, I mean, you spent far too long dying. Go and live some, you know, and that's what I try and do my best to do, you know, like be kind and courteous and all that, you know, do the right thing. But I never know what I'm going to encounter. I never know what's going to happen, you know. There's another reason I like that little reading, by the way, you know, because it talks about that at the end of it, that sentence. We can see the patterns that help us hold us back, and we can find hope even at times when our lives are very difficult. Year 31 has been challenging for me. Those that know me know that. You know, it's and continue to be so. Actually, it's not ended. You know, that story is ongoing. It's not magic. Fucking, there is no magic wand. Yeah, my God, there's no magic wand, right? Fuck, they didn't tell me that when I first got here. I thought there was. You know? I thought, oh my God, you know? where are they hiding their magic wands? They must all be Harry Potter in disguise or something, you know, because it was like, how do you get this wonderful, how do you get to be where you were at, you know, happy, joyous and free? You know, there must be some magic involved in that, like, you know what I mean? That's what it's like. It's kind of, you know, cracking on in the back of my head, you know. But I've realised, actually, you know, there is no magic. It's just fucking hard work, you know, diligence. Pay attention to detail. You know, be aware of, you know, NA's taught me to be aware of my surroundings and what's going on in my head. You know, don't pass it off as being of no consequence, because everything is of consequence. You know, it's all grist to the fucking mill. You know, because it's all about the choices I make around that stuff, you know. If I make bad choices, bad things are going to happen. If I make good choices, good things usually happen. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes they don't, actually. Like, I make what I think is a good choice, and it works for fucking hell and anchor. But that's just life. That's life on life terms. You know, all these things, you know. You know. Someone should write a book of NA cliches. It'd be quite fun, I would think. You know, the stuff that we hear in early recovery, and we think, oh, yeah, right. Pretend to understand what the fuck we're talking about, but actually we don't, and I didn't, you know. And I'd hear all these things, it would go in one ear and out, you know, and I'd spout them out myself without truly understanding what they meant, you know. But you know, that's part of the message, isn't it? You know, sometimes what we need to do is fake it till we make it, you know. It's like, and that starts with not using, you know, don't use, no matter what, you know, end of, you know, and then the rest of it sort of slowly starts falling into place, you know. Yeah. It's tough, you know, I mean, sometimes it's really tough. I mean, something I've realised for me, recovery is all about taking risks. Because it's all about the relationships. It's my, you know, and I don't mean just intimate relationships. I mean other people. I mean myself. You know, my relationship with, you know, Steve's relationship with Steve. I took a risk. I thought, okay, well, you're worth getting to know. Maybe. You know. Got to open up. Let other people in. The risk involved in engaging in relationships with people. And I saw something recently, someone talking about that, in that, you know, grief is part of relationships, you know, relationships ending are part of life, you know, and you know, all of that stuff that goes on, you know. I've been through a huge amount of grief this last 12 months, one way or another, for the end of a thing, you know. And it's difficult, you know, because it brings up all that stuff, you know. It's like, you know, I think there's good reason why the suggestion, I'm not sure if it's in, I can't tell you actually whether this is in the literature or not. I can't remember where, if it is or whatever it is, you know. It's that whole thing of like, you know, don't try to avoid getting into a long-term relationship the first 2 years of your recovery. Hey, fucking men, you know, and I can see why, you know. It's like, you know, it's not about the relationship, it's about what happens when it ends. Have we got the strength and the courage and the tools to deal with that in early recovery? And I fucking certainly wouldn't have had, you know what I mean? I do know that I wouldn't have survived this year without a few years of recovery under my belt and a bit of experience of being a member of NA and understanding some of the principles and how to apply them to my life, how to make the program work for me. To get through, because it's painful. Okay, he says, you know, and we go through that, all that stuff, you know, the anger, the resentment, the denial. It's all wrapped up in that, you know, and it's all related. It's all about relationships. Everything's about relationships. You know, end of story. You know, and that's the risk we take. Is at some point, you know. But I mean, this thing I read about it is, you've got to always be mindful of the fact that one day you're the person that's going to be dying, and you'll be leaving behind all these other people in that same space, you know, having to take the risk, you know, having taken the risk of engaging in a relationship with you. They're going to grieve you when you go. I've never thought about that in that way before, and it was profound, a little profound moment. It's only recently I read that. I can't remember where it was. But without the tools to survive life, I definitely wouldn't have made it this far. You know, and NA and the steps and the traditions, you know, and the principles that are enshrined and all those things that enable me to live a life today that makes some kind of sense. And a life where I'm not hopefully hurting too many people or anybody, you know. I definitely wouldn't be here, you know. It's been an interesting year. I met a guy who shared in my first ever NA meeting in the spring. Was in a meeting sharing the same story, and I go, I fucking know who you are. I pulled him after the meeting and thanked him for his message, because it helped me to get that sense that my experience of NA in that first ever meeting wasn't just that small room in the back of a fucking big old cathedral. It was huge. It was all over the fucking planet, you know. And that's what I heard. That's the message that I got, you know, that there were people doing this stuff all over the world. It was a huge message to hear in my first ever NA meeting. I'll never forget it, you know. And I was able to thank this man after the meeting. I said, look, you know, you won't remember, but let me tell you, you know, that you were, you know, one of the people that helped save my life, because you were there sharing your story, you know, carrying the message that recovery in fucking NA is possible, you know, and that I'd never have to use again if I so choose. Fuck, I mean, that's just incredible, right? So I'm kind of thoughtful. 31 years, I'm thoughtful. I'm in a place in my life. It's still an open book. With blank pages, and that's quite scary. I'm scared, you know. That's you know, and it's, you know, I'm back in a place, you know. I'm like, you know, almost I've been, you know, it's exciting. It's sometimes threatening, you know. But it is what it is, you know. And you know, I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love you people. I love this. I love these rooms. I love what it says to me. It says to me, I'm not alone. And I was alone for fucking so long. As a human being. Yeah, in a crowded fucking room, I was alone. And when I was on my own, it was even fucking worse. It was like I was just in a black pit all the time. You know, and you guys told me that was okay, you know, that I could find the courage, if I did the right things, to get the help I needed. I just needed to be willing to ask for help. I needed to be willing to make the effort to do the things that were suggested I might try. And yeah, it works, you know. And it works, you know, that's the miracle. Somehow, I don't know how, I understand that less today than I thought I did 30 years ago, to be honest, you know. But I don't need to worry about it anymore, because I just trust that it does. Absolutely. 110%. That if I'm willing to continue to do the things you're asking of me, you know, apply the principles, work some steps, you know, give it away wherever, whenever I can, possibly in a way that's kind of humble and selfless. And I've learned how to do that in recovery. There's some mistakes that I learned from, painful mistakes. I just keep coming back because that's what you told me. That's what you said I should try doing, you know, and that's it really. That's my message, you know. Don't use. Don't die. Keep coming back. Give it away when you got it, you know. And that's the message I heard, and it's been working for me for a while. So, yeah, I'm grateful. Just so grateful. I can't tell you the people in my life that are there for me. Even when I don't feel, you know, even when I'm not asking for help, I'm getting help. People are there saying, "You okay?" That's how this works. So I'm going to finish there. Thank you, Jay, and thank you guys for letting me share. I'm grateful to be in a meeting, and always grateful to be clean today. Thank you.